Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here. Welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. Today, I'm joined with our co-host, Coach Nick. Nick, how are we doing today?
I'm really well, Coach Steve. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited, Nick. We are in our final week of the November challenge. We made it to week 6 and we made it to December. And I don't know about you, but I always get excited for December time, that December period, that holiday period, that festive period. Nick, do you have any big plans for this festive period, December, January time?
Well, one of my girls is going to start high school next year. So we've got to get her ready for that. And then the other one's going to the bigger bit of high school. So we'll get through all that. But after that, we're just going to go to the beach and have a week or two just chilling out there. I will probably avoid the gym, do other exercises, do some swimming, get some nice sunshine, and then come back super strong. So that's my plan. I actually really want to relax. I want to read some books. I want to disconnect a little bit. And yeah, how about yourself?
That sounds exciting. You know, other than just the family things, you know, it's baby George's first Christmas. He's three months old now, or well, 12 weeks, close to 3 months. And yeah, I'm sure many parents out there understand that it's becoming a bit of a mission to leave the house. And I've really been a parent for like 3 months now, but I do kind of miss the days where if I wanted to go anywhere, it's just a, okay, let's go kind of thing, not just a big half an hour process to try to get out of the door. So I don't think we'll be super active around this like festive period or this holiday period. I think we'll be very much a homebody, stay at home with my little baby. But, you know, I'm excited for a bit of sunshine. I'm excited for a little bit of time off. I'm excited to get stuck into a few of the hobbies and things that I've kind of been putting off for some time. But I am planning to train right through and hopefully hit some of those bigger targets that I've been aiming for. Like I really want to hit that 150 kilo bench press. That's a big goal. I want to hit the 220 kilo squat and the 250 deadlift. So hopefully I get that over this this January-ish period, because my birthday is in the end of January and I'm 29. So I hopefully my 20s, I want to hit those numbers. So I'm getting old, Nick. I'm almost graduating into the 30s.
Oh, look out. I think you will hit those numbers. I think you will. And you might come and join me. I think I'm going to do a little powerlifting comp in January. So you should come and hang out and we should just hit some numbers.
Hit some numbers, see what's up. Yeah.
You see what's up. Chill out. Just rock up.
You know, no big deal. Just rock up, just see how it all goes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best way, I think.
At the moment, like a lot of my training is like that mental side of things, right? Like he's a fun example and, you know, a little bit of a humble brag. But the other week I've been fighting with the 120 kilos on the bench press because I've been focusing on the bench press because we know that, you know, as we become more and more advanced, we can't be focusing on just like everything all at once. Like we kind of need to spend some time in different camps. Okay. So I've been focusing on the bench press and I've been able to do 120 kilos for 9 reps. And I was able to do that 3 weeks in a row where I've been gunning for the 10th rep on 120 kilos, but I keep failing that 10th rep. And the way that I was programming it was like, okay, how about we try to increase the load? So I got 125 kilos and slowly bit off some strength, maybe in this like 5 to 8 rep range in 125 kilos. So once I increased 125 kilos, I was able to do 9 reps again on 125 kilos. So here I was a few weeks prior chasing 120 kilos for 10 reps. And then now I could do 125 kilos for 9 reps as well. So for me, it's all this mental battle. And I think that's the big part about strength training, big part about lifting weights is that, you know, your brain, your mindset wants to give up first before your body. And a lot of it is, you know, that execution in the moment. And if you're not like focusing in that moment and concentrating, it can fall apart very quickly. So yeah, it's just the fun battles that come with weightlifting, the fun battles that come with training. And I'm sure that everybody listening to this has experienced that where you know they know that they can do it, but you know they might get distracted, something happens, and they kind of miss out on it. So that's always a fun part of it, right?
Yeah, definitely. And when you're getting to those weights, it's also there's that element of belief. And if you get stuck at a particular rep or if you get stuck at a particular weight, it can take a little while to get through that blockage. It can take a few weeks. Sometimes you have to leave it and revisit it. And then you have to trick yourself. I find I have to trick myself and pretend that it's not that weight, even though it is. Like I'll say it's you know, for a deadlift, I'll go, it's 130. It's always just 130. It's never bigger than that. And even though it is, it's just the mind games that we play with ourselves, I think, are crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all mind games. And it is that concept of like the monkey brain, you know, that little voice in your head being like, no, you can't do this. But you kind of got to like strangle that monkey sometimes, be like, calm down, man, I got this, you know, and you got to kind of get it done, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is so rewarding when you do cross through that and pass through it, and then you want to advise everybody else in the world how to do that. And it's like you've just managed to do it yourself, but yet now you're an expert on doing it. Until the next time, you're like, just do it. You'll be fine. Have faith in yourself. But it's been like a mind battle for a little while to get to that point. And I think it's part of the fun, because if you didn't have that battle, it wouldn't feel so great getting to the other side.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, talking about mind battles, I'm sure many people currently doing the challenge are experiencing that mind battle, because we are in that final week of the challenge. We're in week 6. I'm sure that there are many people that are fighting their inner monkey brain that is telling them to stop or give up, or, you know, it's all been, you know, waste of your time or whatever it is. But, you know, it's all about getting to that final end of the challenge, taking those final photos, and then being proud of the results that you've been able to achieve. And, you know, we're seeing some amazing results that have been pouring in on the journals, on social media, such as our Facebook social hub, and on Instagram as well. So it's really cool to see all this progress. And we're excited to see what the final results are for this November challenge, Nick.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. I mean, this is that final week. It's just about really getting to that end bit and figuring out how to present yourself. You know, you're a product, you're a package, you want to really present yourself in the best light possible. So now it's just about thinking about the environment that you're going to present yourself in and having a really good go at those photos. If the lighting doesn't work, take them again. Do my special Coach Nick tip, which is set a video up, play the video, and then take screenshots from that. Because people always go, how do I get these photos? And you run for the timer, but the video, it'll just let you do whatever you want. And then you can just pick and choose from there.
Yeah, no, I like that idea with the video. For me, on my my phone, my smart device, my rear-facing camera is better than my front-facing camera. So if I'm going to take photos or film myself in the gym with my phone, I use the rear-facing camera rather than the selfie camera. So it's nice to always look at yourself if you're, you know, going to take yourself a photo and you can like see yourself in that selfie camera. But it might be worth flipping that phone around, using the rear-facing camera, and maybe taking a film of that, and then take some screenshots of your film, and you might be able to get a clearer picture with some better lighting, which might be the difference between you making the top 50 or you making the top 10, because it is a package, and our judges will judge the final image, and our judges can't see your entire story. We see it in an image, and we want to use as much of that image as we can to portray the effort that we've put in. So think about that final photo.
Oh, I didn't know that. I did not know that the rear facing camera is better.
Not always. On my phone it is. So I use a Google Pixel, and I've also got an iPhone. So I got two phones. Yeah, I'm that guy. but both of those cameras have a better rear-facing camera than a selfie camera that I find. So your phone might be different, but it might be worth kind of comparing the two. You may find one is more clear, or one has better lighting, or is better quality. Yeah.
It's just funny because when every Sunday I do my check-in pictures, and my family's sick to death of helping me take them. So, but I do vaguely remember the pictures always being fantastic when the kids helped me out, and that might be why.
Maybe. Yeah. So it's worth trialing. Because it can be, you know, if you want to gun for the top 10 and the top 10 is a pretty cool prize, it might be worth spending an extra couple of minutes and testing out the other side of your camera. Yeah.
Absolutely. If it's the difference between that, then yeah, it's worth a go.
Worth a go. Okay. But look, Nick, I want to quickly run through some important dates over the next 2 to 3 weeks. So firstly, you know, wrapping up this week, the challenge officially wraps up on the 12th of December. So that's a week from now, the challenge will be finished. And then over the weekend, you'll have a chance to take your final photos. So you'll be able to access the completion document very soon. So probably when this podcast is published, you'll be able to access the completion documents. And then you'll be able to upload your final photos on either Monday the 13th or Tuesday the 14th of December. So you can't upload your final photos today unless you're listening to this today on Monday the 13th of December. So you have to wait until Monday the 13th of December to upload your final photos, and you'll have until Tuesday midnight on the 14th of December to upload your final photos. And we get it all the time where individuals would start their completion process at 11:48 p.m. on Tuesday and then are unable to complete their completion process by midnight on Tuesday and then miss out on the competition. So make sure if you want to be part of the competition to submit your final photos by Tuesday midnight, the 14th of December, okay?
Definitely. It does take a while to upload. Just, you know, you shouldn't give yourself a couple of minutes. Give yourself a good half an hour, close to the middle of the day type thing, and just get it done.
We want to upload our final photos. Think about those extra 10 photos if you want to add more to your profile, and then answering the completion questions. And it's always nice when there's a nice big write-up, and there's stories always go a long way in that completion process. So do give it a little bit of time to fill out those questions as well. Now on Wednesday, the 15th of December, you'll be able to log in to the challenge website and vote for your favorite transformation. So you can vote for both Max and Maxine. So if you're a guy, you can log into the Max's website and then log into the Maxine's website as well and vote for your favorite transformations. You'll have 3 votes on both Max and 3 votes for Maxine as well. You can also get your friends and family to vote for you as well. They'll just need to verify that they're a human. Because we've had that challenge in the past where they'll just need to go in, input their email, verify that they are a human, have an email address, and then they can vote for you. And they could also vote for a Maxine or Max as well. So they can go onto both websites as well. They'll have until Sunday, the 19th of December at midnight to vote in the public voting. Then once we've completed the public voting on the Tuesday, the 21st of December, we'll be announcing our top 50. So a little bit earlier than what we normally do because of that, we're getting close to Christmas. So Tuesday, the 21st of December, top 50 is announced. And then Wednesday, the 22nd of December, during our awards night, we'll be announcing our top 10 and top 3 finalists, along with the People's Choice Award, the Community Choice Award, and then also the new Coaches Award as well, all being announced on Wednesday, the 22nd of December, live stream to our Facebook social hub. And then finally, on Thursday, the 23rd of December, the website closes. By the 23rd of December, you will still be able to log into the website. You could download plans if you'd like. You can access the forum. You can access your journals and do all those fun things. But from the 23rd of December, the website will be closed until our next challenge, which will be kicking off in January, towards the end of January next year. So lots of key dates coming up. And of course, you can find all these key dates on the challenge website. Just scroll down to the bottom. You'll find the button that says, or the link that says click key dates, and you can see all the key dates there. Okay.
Yes. Very good. Very good to have that reminder of all the different things that we need to do to wrap this up.
To wrap it up. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Okay. Nick, let's move on to our non-scale victories for the week, our NSVs. Nick, did you find a couple this week?
I did. I'm going to kick off with Trisha Bell. So Trisha Bell, welcome to the NSVs. So she says, this is my second challenge in a row and I'm learning a lot. One major victory has been not focusing on my scales. I'm finally realizing I have many NSVs of my own. These are some of my NSVs so far. I've reached my best ever PB of 12.5 kilo dumbbell rows. And secondly, first comment on my weight loss by somebody else. So somebody's noticing. These challenges have given me hope that I'll finally be able to achieve my fitness health goals and maintain them for the long term. Thanks, Maxine's challenge. So that's amazing. Good on you, Tricia.
I love that. Awesome, Tricia.
Yeah, really, really good. Once people start to comment, you know that things are really kicking off, because I think there's that saying that it takes, you know, 3 or 4 weeks for you to notice, and then another 3 or 4 weeks on top of that for anyone else to notice. We think everyone's looking at us all the time, but really everyone's looking at their own selves. So if somebody's actually commenting, there's some change going on. Well done, Tricia. Okay, the next one we've got is Joelle Elson. So Joelle, I turned a work meeting into a bushwalk and it worked. For me, this is a big NSV, as I always feel like work is so sedentary and it holds me back in achieving goals. But I have so many meetings, so if I can identify a few that can be done away from a desk, it is a big change in making it part of lifestyle, all about thinking outside the box. Well, I love that. Love it. You know, I mean, we could do that. We sort of do that when we go into the office. We go for a walk. But we could have all of our meetings as bushwalks. I love
that. Yeah. And for any corporate workers out there, if you are sick to death with meetings and having to sit through boring meetings where you're just staring at the wall because other people are talking and such, if you turn it into a walking meeting, you probably find that that meeting becomes a lot shorter and more productive, and less waste of your company time. So interesting one, and a tough one to convince others to kind of get involved in a walking meeting, but it can go a long way, especially those individuals who are stuck in a sedentary job, where you're stuck at a desk all day, and it might be hard to get your steps up. So by having walking meetings or a bushwalk, it could be a little bit more productive. And you probably find that, when you're doing a little bit of exercise, your brain's a little bit more active and you might come up with some more creative ideas. So that's always a good one. Congratulations, Joelle,
I reckon.
Joelle. Or is it like more of a yo, like a J as a Y, Joelle?
Oh, you think it's Joelle?
Joelle.
It could be, it's either Joelle or Joelle. Let us know.
Look, I always butcher names, so I apologize. Joelle.
Joelle. Okay, so now we've got Lynette Toner. So Lynette's old school. She's an OG, original gangster, if anyone doesn't know what that is, but I'm sure everyone does. So Lynn, going into week 6, it's gone fast. I agree, 100% agree. My progress is great, learning new techniques and just keep showing up. A slow process, but it works. Had a few Christmas parties and had a few sugar hits, taking note of what it does to my body. I ended up with stomach pains. On Saturday, did a group challenge with my daughter and it was awesome. I love this little snippet of her life, because this is what a real journal is, you know, just documenting exactly what's gone on. Even things like that, taking note of if you have food that you wouldn't normally have. And then next time you can look back at your journal and go, oh, that's right, I had that then. So you don't have to panic when something happens to your body that has happened before. Because if we don't document it, it's like, I'll be honest, it's like even women when we get our periods, we forget every month. So if you forget that you put everyone around you through everything, and it's like, you actually forget that that's something that happens to you all the time. So if you write it down, if you write your symptoms down, if you write the way that you're feeling down, it really does help to then be clear about what's going on. And yeah, so Lynn's always, she's got a great upper body going on. She's just really good value. Good on you. Very good.
Good result. I love it. Congratulations, Lynette. So I found a couple this week, Nick. The first one goes to Mary O'Loughlin, and she writes, feeling a bit tired at this stage of the program, but listening to the podcast, that's not uncommon. So Mary, listener to the podcast. So hi, Mary, congratulations on posting. And she writes that I can see huge results from week one to now. Lots of body fat, 4 kilos at least, she writes. Super obvious, and I look so much healthier, my skin and body generally. I can see good shoulder development and tricep signs to show I'm happy. 1 week to give it my best and then to create a narrative that will keep me going to my bigger goal. So I love that, Mary. It's awesome that you're seeing some changes in your body. Maybe it's scale weight. You're feeling healthier. Your skin's looking great. Your body's overall feeling good. And you're also seeing some shoulder and tricep development. So congratulations, Mary. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And the whole idea of creating that narrative, that's excellent. We are all about the stories that we tell ourselves. So you create that narrative, Mary, to basically say that this is your life now and you must keep going. And that's just part of you. That's what you need to do.
The next one here goes to Sean Davidson. And Sean writes, into week 5, very happy with progress and physical changes. Work colleagues and family have also commented on the difference in appearance, feeling really good. Quite keen to sign up for the next 12-week challenge. So yes, Sean, it sounds a lot like Yoel, where she's noticing other people. No, it was Trisha, who's noticing others, noticing their change. So Sean has his work colleagues and family commenting on the differences that he's made, which is really cool. And he's highlighted that, yes, we are moving back to our 12-week model come January. So Sean, we're excited for you to join us in the January challenge, that 12-week challenge. And the last one here goes to Lainey Robson, and she writes, hey team, I've taken my photos for week 4 check-in and couldn't really see any results for myself. So I decided to revisit the goal, in quotation, skirt that I'm aiming to do up the bottom button on at the end of this challenge. Zip wouldn't zip up at all when we started, and now it can zip up 2/3 of the way. Small wins, she writes. And I like this, Lainey, where sometimes when we're looking at photos of ourselves, it's hard to compare photos. We're often very critical of ourselves and we don't notice any changes. But you had a goal, and that goal was to put on a skirt. And at the start, you couldn't zip it up, and now you can zip it up 2/3 of the way. So that's suggesting that we are getting some changes. We are losing some mass because we're able to zip it up. So that's really cool, Lainey. And if you're struggling to notice any results or changes in your body, that clothing method where you find a top or pants or an outfit that may not fit you and you try to fit into it, that is quite a powerful thing to be able to do. So go follow that goal. And congratulations to Lainey, Sean, Mary, Lynette, Trisha, and Yoel, all our non-scale victory participants this week.
Thanks for sharing, everybody, because all of those themes that were discussed are very, very common, and we love to highlight these sorts of things for everybody. So thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Nick, let's move on to our Coach's Corner. So Coach's Corner, where we offer our tip for the week. So Nick, take us away. What advice do you have for us?
Well, sort of funny because Lainey kind of did a segue for me. I think we planned that very, very well. But so I'm going to talk just a little bit about when you're training hard. I'll do hard in quotation marks. You can see me doing this, but you can't see, you can see me. So, and not seeing any results. So I'm just going to have a chat to you guys about a few tips to get through that, because it's often something that we see on the Facebook group, or I see it all the time, on Instagram, you can see it. People will say, they'll put up pictures and they'll say, I'm not getting any results. Now, first of all, sometimes that's just a way for people to then say, yes, you are. It's a way to get reassurance. We're human beings. We naturally want that. And there's nothing wrong with that as well, because within our Facebook group in particular, you will get an avalanche of support. So if you're just after a bit of support and you're not quite sure, you can see a few things happening, that initial shift is happening, chuck your picture up there and that'll, Bob's your uncle, you'll be fine. But just say that you actually have been doing this for a while. You've been doing your steps, you've been having your water, and you know, you've been lifting what you think you should be lifting, and you just can't see things happening. That's the person that I'm talking to. Firstly, I want you to think about where you are gauging this progress. So are you looking at somebody else? Are you looking at somebody who, I keep saying Instagram, I mean, I might be old now, there might be a different platform that people are looking at, but say on Instagram you might be looking at a person who is in a photo shoot, who is not necessarily on the same things as you're on, which might be you know, enhanced. It could also be that they're very dry for their photo shoot. They might have been training for years. They may not have all the other plethora of things that you have going on, like a full-time job. Their full-time job might be their physique. So just don't forget that there's that. If you're coming from a perspective of, say, being, you know, 30, 40 kilos overweight, you've had a couple of kids, and perhaps you haven't had the chance to prioritize your health for a while, and maybe it's been 7 years, maybe you've got a seven-year-old, maybe you've got a five-year-old, that sort of thing, it may take you, let's just say, half the amount of time that it took for you to get into that state. With full dedication, it might take you about half to nearly the same to get back to where you were, but probably even better. So just, it needs to be a long-term thing. What you need to think of, I think, and one of the greatest tips that I have is one that I say to everyone, no matter where they're at, is what would you be doing otherwise? So you can kind of, I see people sometimes get backed into a corner and they almost go, I'm going to give up. What do you think of that? And then we're all supposed to say, don't. And the best thing about us as coaches is we know to say that. We know what to say. We know how to help you. But, yeah, there's basically no choice but to move forward and to take it one day at a time. So what you need to do is actually identify your goal. So remember, we always talk about, do you want fat loss? Do you want muscle growth? What are you looking for? So because if you're thinking, I want to grow muscles, but you have a heck of a lot of body fat to lose, we've done quite a few podcasts on this. We've got some articles on this sort of thing. So perhaps have a bit of a research and see that your first goal might be to get rid of that excess fat. And I'd stick to that goal until you get to a certain point where you'll know, where you suddenly start to look as though you could do with a little bit more muscle, and that's where you can start to build again. So one goal at a time, tackle one goal at a time. That's the first thing. And also within that one goal at a time, you are going to feel awesome anyway. So losing that body fat is going to be amazing anyway. So you don't need to be fully ripped as well. You can wait. Okay, because then you can have the never-ending quest that we have anyway. So that's a never-ending quest. So train hard enough so you progress. So that just also means making sure that every time you hit the gym, you are progressing with your weights. You need to feel it. You need to, you know, almost every single time you go in there, you need to make sure that you are increasing something, that you are changing something, that something is progressing within your program. So that's where you really need to take note of your data. And there's no point in comparing to anyone else and going, well, that person's doing 15 kilo bicep curls or something like that. It doesn't matter. It's to do with your own body. But, yeah, just make sure that you really get stuck into your data. I think really successful people are all over their data. They'll be able to tell you straight away what they weigh, what their lifts are, what they can do pretty much for every exercise. And if anyone wants to listen to it, we could rave on about it. So you want to be like that. You want to know. You need to audit your diet as well. And I know people say, oh, I'm eating 100%. And almost that's a clue just kind of go, well, if you haven't audited enough to know that you're probably never eating 100%, because people always underreport what they're eating, then, yeah, it's time to just have a look, to have a real measure, to also identify your weaknesses and try and at least incorporate them in or understand long-term where they might fit in, so then you can progress. And it's okay. That's the other thing. It's okay to have that. You just need to understand, because once you identify it, and you really pinpoint where you might be going wrong, then you've got a chance to get out of it. It could just be that you're having too many spoonfuls of peanut butter. We know that if you're not weighing your peanut butter, you could think one spoonful, that could be anything from, you know, 70 calories all the way through to sometimes even 400 calories, depending on how much you've actually got on that spoon. So that sort of thing, really track and weigh. And yeah, and I know that I've said this before, but I'll just wrap it up by saying it's all about that patience. So it needs to be, put yourself out there, but also put your head down, your bum up, and just one day at a time, because eventually you'll get there. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, I like that. That's really good advice. And I think many of us have been in that situation where we just feel like we are just treading water. We're not getting anywhere. We're just in the same spot and it feels stagnant and it's frustrating. But sometimes it does take a little bit of reflection, a little bit of an audit on every aspect of what you're doing, because we can all improve on something. And even, you know, elite level bodybuilders, Olympians, you know, sports athletes, they are constantly finding ways to improve. And these people are in the 99.9 percentile, you know, the closest they could to 100%, but they're still trying to find ways to get better and closer to, you know, maximal effort in the gym. They're getting closer to the most optimal diet for them. They're getting really optimal and specific about what their goal is. And they're, you know, trying to, you know, beat themselves. They're trying to, it's them versus themselves. And I think you really highlighted some really good points, Nick. That's really good.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I'll just also just quickly mention something that I should tie in. So I just recently did a podcast with Dr. Tamara Hunter, where she does talk about perimenopause and menopause. So it can be, because a lot of our demographic are of that age, and that can actually be something that's outside of your control. So don't forget to sometimes, if everything seems like nothing's shifting, do visit your GP, do get some blood tests done, and just check that everything's okay there, because you can get some help as well. So you're not alone with that. And that's an easy fix to go and get the ball rolling with just getting a few different blood tests done. You can get vitamin D, iron, you can get thyroid. Just get your blood panels done. And it could be as simple as your vitamin D is a bit low, and that can throw things out of whack. So it's also worth exploring that side of it as well.
Yeah, very cool. I like that. So Nick, I want to talk about training as well. And I want to talk about the idea of focusing while you train. So the idea of concentrating while you're training and really thinking about what we are trying to achieve. And this kind of relates to what I was speaking about at the very start of the podcast about, you know, like my endeavors with weightlifting and how, you know, you really need to focus. But, you know, from my observations of training in a gym for, you know, the good part of 10 plus years and coaching individuals, I think there is a really big breakthrough moment when we shift our focus from the external world to, you know, what's happening right in the moment in lifting that weight. And for me, I always remember this really like silly video of The Rock, you know, Dwayne Johnson, and he's in the gym training and he's like doing like shrugs or something like that. And he stops and he yells at someone. He's like, "Focus." And he gives them like the eyebrow, and then he keeps doing his shrugs, right? And it was just like a funny little thing. But I always kind of remember that, like, oh, you know, focus on what you're trying to do. And there are a few points I want to kind of touch on around this idea of focusing. And the first one I want to talk about is your environment, okay? A thing that I love doing a lot is training with other people. For me, when I'm training, it kind of turned into a social thing. I love going to community gyms. I love kind of like chatting with people, everyone from the people that work there, people that are training. I'm that guy, you know. I like to be friendly. I like to talk to people. I like to see what they're training, that type of thing. But then sometimes when I'm training with, let's say, a friend of mine, ends up into a conversation. I'm about to go do a set of bench press and I'm unracking the weight and I'm telling them a story about what happened on the weekend. I'm doing a couple of reps in and I'm still talking and I'm not actually focusing on what I'm doing. I'm focusing on, you know, this external thing. So I'm actually distracted while I'm training. And that's one thing I'd like you to reflect on is, are you distracted while you're training? Are you more interested in what's happening around you? Are you interested in chatting to your friend or your partner? Are you interested in, you know, looking at the mirror in front of you and, you know, who's walking around in the gym? Are you distracted by, you know, the other things in the environment, maybe the music, a big one is music sometimes is too loud, which can be like a distraction, or sometimes really silent, which could be a distraction. Or maybe there's this fan that's blowing on your face and you're distracted. So are you distracted while you're training, and are you actually focusing on what you're doing? Okay. The next point is about that concept of the monkey brain, which we spoke about, where, you know, are you distracted from this voice in your head telling you that you can't do it? And are you actually focusing on that moment? And sometimes that monkey brain can be, Steve, you can't do it. You can never do, you know, 120 kilos for 10 reps, even though you can do 125 kilos for 9 reps, you know, you can't do that. But sometimes that monkey brain can be that, is in your ear going, oh, Steve, you've got to go to the supermarket on the way home, and you've got to make sure to pick up nappies for baby George, and then you've got to go home and feed him, and then you've got to go and do this podcast with Coach Nick later today, and then now you've got to go do this and this. You know, this thing in your brain that's thinking about either like the future or maybe the past, and it's constantly talking to you, and you're distracted about what you're trying to do. You know, if you've got 120 kilos in front of your chest, it's going to crush you. You can't have this monkey brain taking off thinking about all these other things. You need to focus on the moment. And that takes a lot of mental effort and time to practice. And it is quite meditative to be able to focus on that one thing. Okay. And then finally, I want to talk about the idea of stimulation. Okay. So we know that stimulation and its effect on performance is in an inverted U shape, meaning that the more that we're stimulated, the better our performance becomes, to a point where we can be overstimulated, where our performance actually decreases. Okay, and let's give it an example. So on one end of this U-shaped curve, you could be really lowly stimulated. You know, you've just woken up, you're tired, you're yawning, you're struggling to keep your eyes open, and now I'm telling you, go bench press 120 kilos, you're really lowly stimulated. That's a word, lowly. So you're not very stimulated and you are not going to be able to perform very well, okay? Then the more that you're stimulated, so maybe you've taken some caffeine, some pre-workout, maybe you're training with a coach and they're in your ear saying, you know, do it, do it, do it. You've got some, you know, funky tunes going on, you're ready to go. It's, you know, a good temperature in the gym or wherever you're training, you know, you're moderately stimulated. Okay, we've hit that peak, but then we can also be overstimulated, where maybe we're taking too much pre-workout. Maybe we are, you know, the music's too loud for us. We've got, you know, three people yelling at our face while we're trying to, you know, bench press. And, you know, you're just too amped up. And that's when we kind of in this other end of this inverted U shape where we're overstimulated, just too much going on inside of us. So another point to reflect on is how stimulated are you while you're training? Are you at kind of like what your optimal stimulation is, or are you too lowly stimulated or too overly stimulated? Okay. The main takeaway, the main thing I want you to think about is how focused are you while you're training? How much concentration do you have in that moment? And are you distracted by your environment? Are you distracted by the monkey brain? And are you under or overstimulated for the task that you're trying to achieve in the gym?
And it's very hard to align the sun, the moon, the stars to make it all perfect, isn't it? So sometimes, sometimes you have to lift that 10th rep, even though baby George does need nappies. But it's hard because baby George needing nappies, your caveman instinct is, I've got to go and look after my little cave. And so your caveman monkey brain is focused on that. It's not going to want to push that rock away because you've got to look after what's in the cave first.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I do think it does come down to a skill. Like, to be able to focus in the moment is a skill that takes time to practice. And I'm sure that many people out there can have the potential to lift more than they're currently lifting. But the limiting factor in their ability to lift more is that they don't have the skill to focus in the moment, to be able to create the force, to be able to move that object. And even myself, there's a breakdown in my own skill to be able to focus in the moment because I cannot do 120 kilos for 10 reps, keep failing at that 10th rep, even though I can do a heavier load at 9 reps as well. So for me, I fail mentally to be able to focus and concentrate for that very 10th rep. And that's okay. I know that that's one of my weaknesses. That's one of my fail points. And I continue to practice until I get there. And I know I'm going to get there, and that's okay. So it's a bit about that reflection, being like, am I actually focused in the now, in the moment, or am I elsewhere? Am I somewhere else, even though I've got 50 kilos, 100 kilos, 200 kilos, whatever number you're lifting, even though I've got this in front of me, am I focused elsewhere? And can you get better at focusing in the moment?
It's also what self-talk might work for you might not work for me, because I remember I used to have a coach that used to say, you know, if you don't do this 12th pull-up, you know, your children are on top of that cliff and you won't be able to save them. For me, I just can't imagine that. Even though I love my children, it doesn't motivate me to do that final chin up. I kind of start to think, what do you mean? Why would they be there? And why would I be? So I overthink things. So making up a scenario for me doesn't work.
And so it's interesting. It sounds like that posed as more of a distraction than something that was motivating or stimulating.
But for others,
your ability to do the chin up. Yeah.
You know, for others, they might go, oh my God, absolutely. Off I go. It's all to do with sort of learning about what is that little thing that can help you at that moment. And say, I'll say one more thing. Somebody used to give me the ammonia to lift, you know, the big.
That didn't do anything. Smelling salts, that's what it is. Yeah.
It didn't do a thing for me. I was like, okay, I'm supposed to get all amped up. I'm already amped up as a human. It'd be better if someone gave me some lavender and a salt lamp.
Yeah. You know, my comment to that is, yeah, I've tried sniffing salts before. So that's the ammonia that you're talking about. And that led me to be overstimulated. So, you know, I was training with some buddies, you know, like I'm in a group of my friends. We're all doing deadlifts and, oh yeah, cool, let's get amped up. Ooh, yeah, party. We've all taken a bunch of pre-workout, you know, we're super stimulated. One of my friends has some sniffing salts, hit the sniffing salt. And then I was like, whoa, you know, and like that was just too stimulated to a point where I wasn't able to concentrate on the deadlift because I was like pinging, you know. So, you know, thinking about that stimulation idea where it can easily be overstimulated, it can be understimulated. And, you know, sometimes I've had my best workouts listening to like some old school R&B where it's just, you know, chilling out, I'm focusing in the moment, I'm in the groove, I'm in the flow of things. I'm like, yeah, this is great. Rather than, you know, some really super heavy, fast metal blaring in my ears with three guys yelling at me, high on sniffing salts and trying to deadlift my max. Yeah, okay, I'm too stimulated, I'm unable to do that one.
Mm. Interesting.
It is. Nick, let's move on to some questions that have popped up this week and let's answer them. So the first question here, is heavier better for muscle growth? Is heavier better for muscle growth? So Nick, what advice would you give this person?
Very interesting. So I'll just tell a little Coach Nick tale again. Today's the day of the Coach Nick tales from the past. Firstly, when I started my weightlifting journey, all I wanted to do was lift heavy. And all I did was look like a giant giraffe stick figure. And I lifted super, super heavy, and that was great. I don't believe that I optimized my muscle growth in that phase. I think that there were various reasons, but basically lifting at that, you know, heavier range, which we can define as, let's just say 90% plus of like our 1 RM. So sort of in that zone where you do have to use all those techniques that we were speaking about before to even lift the thing. You know, how many reps can you bust out of that? Does it work for muscle growth? Well, the problem is we run into a few problems. I think personally, just from my own tales, I think that I fried myself too often to actually then be able to do the rest of the stuff that's required to grow muscle as well, because there actually needs to be an amount of volume as well, a certain amount of volume that you can't keep busting out volume at that particular rep, at that particular weight range, because then it wouldn't be your 1 RM, it wouldn't be close to that, it'd be back down to that 75%. And I think we find that for longevity, and just to be able to actually get the volume in, that's the better range to work out for muscle growth. So probably around about that 8 to 12 reps. And that's where I've had a little bit more success. I found that with the lockdown, I was spending some time trying to grow my upper body, my shoulders and things. And I certainly didn't do, other than your overhead press, nothing else was excessively heavy. It was sort of more about that 75%. I can move it for 12 reps, I can do it well, and I can keep doing it. And that's where I found that I had that success, because you remember that your central nervous system, it can get fried really easily, and we don't even necessarily realize that while we're training. I think it's just later on. So that actually takes a little bit of time to recover from as well. And look, there is a school, there are a school of people out there that I've worked a little bit with some of them, and they're nuts, and they do believe in lifting that. And it's not power lifters, it's this other school, I won't even say, but they do believe in lifting at that 90% constantly. But then you find that they actually have a lot of injuries. Also, these people may not necessarily be just having their creatine, if you know what I mean. So that's another game. So muscle growth is driven by volume, and you do need to increase the load. But I think that the idea of increasing it constantly is kind of untenable. So we need to find other ways to stimulate that muscle growth. And also the other thing is, it also has to do with what you're eating as well. So you can bust out everything in the gym. And I do know now that I was very much under eating. So that didn't help as well. So there's that sort of question about, is heavier better? But you can lift as heavy as you want, and you can get strong, but you may not see that growth that you require unless you address the food side of it as well.
Mm. Yeah, no, I agree. And sometimes I do think that the amount that we're lifting, the load that we're lifting, is a big driving factor for muscle growth, because eventually you're going to need to lift something heavier. You can't stay at the 2 kilo dumbbells forever. Like, you do need to gradually increase the weight that you're lifting. But sometimes that is over prioritized, where individuals want to keep adding more and more and more to the bar, and they're trying to go heavier. But then, you know, the heavier we go, we kind of risk things happening. Like, you know, one could be just technique execution, and a classic one would be like a bent over row. You know, I'm sure there's guys out there that are like, oh yeah, I could put 60 kilos, 70 kilos, 80 kilos in a bent over row, and you watch them do a bent over row, and it's closer to like a clean or a clean and jerk, because they're moving their whole body through the row. It's like your back has not even contracted one bit. Or another one, you know, a bicep curl, a lateral raise, where, you know, guys and girls want to grab the 10, 15, 20 kilo dumbbells, and they're swinging all over the place, and you're like, your muscle isn't being stimulated right now. Your technique is flawed, and you know, you're not training anymore. You're getting really good at momentum, right? And of course, the more that we utilize things like swinging and momentum and bouncing off some of our you know, soft tissue and such, you know, there's a higher chance of or higher risk of injury occurring, which we don't really want. You know, for longevity, especially when we're building muscle, probably better hanging around, you know, maybe that, like what you said, Nick, 75, maybe 80% of our one rep max. You know, if you're normally able to squat 100 kilos for one rep, if you're squatting, you know, 80 kilos for sets of, like you said, maybe 10 to 12 or 6 to 10, whatever range we're working on, you know, that can be better for muscle growth than if we're trying to gun for like, you know, a 2 rep max or a 3 rep max, because that can just simply, you know, train our nervous system, which might be your goal if you want to get strong, but if you want to build muscle, that might not be the optimal way to go. Yeah,
that's right. And look, the other thing is, not everybody has all the time in the world to sit around and rest in between sets, the rest that is required between those massive lifts and things. I mean, if you're young and you've got the time, you can have a go at that. It's a lot of fun, but it doesn't necessarily lead to the physique that you might be after. But I still recommend that if you're young and you've got time, or, you know, even if you're old and you've got time, go through that phase and have a bit of fun lifting that heavy stuff. You know, test yourself. But it's not where you want to live if you want to have your absolute ultimate physique. And the other thing is, like, as you said, with technique and things, then you end up overcompensating with certain muscles, and you may not actually, say for me, I didn't sort of grow my lats until I actually really took a step back and started to took a step back, get it? And started to look at what was going on, because my erectors are so strong from deadlifting that basically I'm just a walking pair of erectors. So yeah, you need to sort of determine where your physique's at as well. So take a bodybuilding approach, and I guess it may not be as much fun when you're in the gym, but it sort of leads to better muscle growth. That's what I think anyway.
Yeah. Well, look, I think there is definitely fun in being able to get a pump, and that comes with some skill. So true. if you never experienced like a back pump or a lat pump, chances are you're not training your back or your lats effectively enough. And you know, if you do tweak and change and maybe use a lighter load and maybe a slower tempo and maybe figure out how to squeeze your lats, you know, that lat pump is quite juicy.
I've only just, and this is how many years, so many years, only just realized that my lats are there. And I keep thinking at the moment there's something extra living on my back. Like, that's all the time I'm like, what's that? And I keep grabbing at it. So even me, like, you know, it's all interesting.
Yeah. All right, Nick, next question here is a question on the forum, and it was, I train in the evening. Should I still take a pre-workout? Okay. And let's talk about it. So a pre-workout is an ergogenic aid, meaning that it can help us in our performance. So we do like to take some sort of pre-workout concoction before we train so that we perform better. And one of the biggest ergogenic aids in a pre-workout is caffeine. Okay, is caffeine. And this, we're mainly going to be talking about caffeine to answer this question. So should you take a pre-workout, meaning should you have caffeine in the evening, if you're going to go and train? Now, talking about caffeine, we know that caffeine has a half-life of about 6 hours. For some individual, it's a half-life of closer to 8 hours. And for some, if we're really lucky with a weird genetic mutation, we can have a half-life of about 4 hours. That means that it takes, you know, 6 hours for most individuals to metabolize the caffeine so that it's half of the caffeine is metabolized. So let's use an example of a cup of coffee, let's say about 200 milligrams of caffeine. That means that it takes 6 hours for that 200 milligrams of caffeine that's in your body to become 100 milligrams of caffeine. And then we've got a nice long tail for that caffeine to drip away. So if you are choosing to have a pre-workout in the evening, maybe you've come home from work, it's 6 o'clock in the evening, and you want to have a pre-workout, that means that at midnight, you have half the amount of caffeine that you just had still active in your body, and that can affect our sleep. And we know that, you know, there are people that can go to sleep, you know, maybe they have a coffee at 10 o'clock at night and then, you know, lay down in bed and go to sleep. Sure, there are individuals that do that, but we know that caffeine is still active in the body, and that does disrupt our quality of sleep. So you can get to sleep, but you may not have good quality sleep or really deep sleep. So my advice to you is, if you're thinking about taking caffeine in the evening or a pre-workout in the evening, you know, just think again, because, you know, it does affect our quality of sleep, and constant sleep deprivation can you know, really turn down the dial of muscle growth and really affect our ability to recover between sessions, which just ultimately decreases our progression and really negates any performance benefits that we have from taking caffeine. Because if you're taking caffeine prior to training, you may get an extra 10% extra stimulation from that training session, but if you can't recover from that, you know, there's no point in getting more from your training session if you can't recover. Now, I can say that our Maxine brand is releasing a low or close to no stimulation, meaning no caffeine pre-workout, which is mainly alanine and citrulline malate, so other ergogenic aids that aren't don't have a caffeine stimulant in it, which can help as a pre-workout. So if you are training in the evening, there are other things that you can look at. But you know, my advice would be to ensure that you're adequately hydrated. Think about some easy to digest carbohydrates, so something like, you know, a banana is always a great one prior to training. A thing that I've been really interested in lately is taking salt prior to training. So if you do have maybe a protein shake prior to your training session, maybe add a pinch of salt into that training session. This is a fun one, Nick. You know, old school bodybuilders used to like smoke like cigarettes before they train, and they used to get that nicotine hit before they train. Now it's a little bit weird to see someone smoking in the car park before you train, but you might see the old, you know, that old dude or the old, yeah, you see them, right? They still exist, you know, they have a smoke and then they go into
yeah, they wear jeans as well.
Yep. So it's definitely in a bodybuilding culture. You know, society has progressed since, and of course health science has progressed since, and we know that probably a limiting effect. But I do know some guys and girls out there that look at nicotine gum and nicotine patches before they train to get the nicotine hit, so that they can focus while they're training. So I'm not telling you to go have a smoke, no, or go and buy nicotine patches, no. I'm not telling you to do that. But there are individuals that you know, do dabble in some of those nootropic agents to affect their training. Yeah,
we're going all controversial here. I love it.
I know.
I love it. This is, you know, it's taken us 46 episodes to get to this point. Now we're
talking about nicotine prior to training. Yeah, yep. Gosh.
Do you know that's my nickname though, Nicorette? Because
Nicorette, you could beat the cigarette. Yeah,
that's right.
That's the slogan.
Yeah. People have always said that. They go Nicoretta. But anyway.
Okay, Nick, look, next question here is a question about training our lower body. So how do I train my lower body and my glutes without making my thighs bigger?
Okay.
What advice would you give this person?
Okay, I'll just make a bit of a joke. I'll say, okay, so we've got Kim Kardashian asking this question, haven't we? So I'll respond to Kim. It's nice to have her engaged with our program. Yes, so I'm assuming that it's interesting, women's physiques and figures and things have gone through the ideal, lots of different ideals over the years. You know, we had the curves of say, you know, your Marilyn Monroes and things, and then we went through the waif look, and now we're at this look where you're supposed to be lean but have a huge bum, huge. And then, well, not supposed to, but, you know, I feel like athletically we're kind of moving in the right direction. We're kind of now coveting, you know, say Beyonce's physique with, she's got the quads and the glutes and things like that. But, yeah, we're still wanting to have certain body parts developed and certain body parts not. So, basically, it does boil down to that ultimately. It's about, as we were speaking about, growing certain muscles. Now, firstly, let me just say, let me assume that the person that's asking this question is already at their ideal level of leanness, because that would probably be the first thing that I would look at, because we tend to, as women, hold more weight in our lower body. Obviously, we're designed to give birth. We're designed to pretty much squat while we're giving birth, although now these days we've got, luckily, a bit more sophistication going on with our technology. We don't have to, but we've got strong lower bodies, probably, you know, kilo for kilo stronger than guys, because that's, we're supposed to squat. And so we're going to hold more body fat there. So just say that you, first of all, address that. So you get lean, because when you do get lean, I can promise you probably at least 60% of people go, I don't mind my quad development. Also, let's just look at the leg. Let's just assume that you're talking about the front bit of the leg. You're not talking about hammies, because, you know, you might want to, I don't see a lot of women that say they don't want hammies, because hammies are the foundation to the glutes. You've got to have something to hold your glutes up. Otherwise, they probably will sag unless they're plastic. It's just, it's logistically a nightmare. Where are they going to sit? So you can have some hamstrings. Don't you reckon? Hamstrings are allowed. But anyway, what I think is really important to understand is, you have to have that exercise selection. So you don't really want to be doing anything that, well, I mean, look, within the gym, basically I was just looking it up before, Brett Contreras said the solution involves avoiding exercises that highly activate and stress the quads, hammies and adductors. So performing exercises that highly activate and stress the glutes. So that doesn't leave us with many options, and that's what I found quite interesting. So if you keep squatting and lunging, especially if you're gaining strength in this movement patterns, your quads will continue to grow. If you keep performing glute ham raises, Russian leg curls and RDLs, especially if you're gaining strength on these movement patterns, your hamstrings continue to grow. So if you want your legs to shrink or stop growing, you need to quit activating them to high levels when you train, and progressive overload is a bad idea for exercises that target these muscles. So it's a bit crazy, you know. But, yeah, you want to really this list, I'll just look, it's a bit excessive, but he goes no squats, lunges, Bulgarian split squats, step-ups, pistols, leg press, leg extensions or trap bar deadlifts. These lead to too high of quad activation. Even hip thrusts are out. So no RDLs, Russian leg curls, glute ham raises, back extensions, deadlifts, good morning, and legs curls either. So it sounds like you've pretty restricted. So what's left? So he says low load glute activation work. Hip external rotation movements, so band hip rotations and hip abduction movements from side lying abduction. So those the clammy things with a band apparently are quite good for your glutes and barbell glute bridges. But what you need to be careful of is just putting your feet in a certain position. Now, I think personally from my own experience, it really, you're going to have to play around with the foot position on that. And also if you're looking to just target the glutes with that, you don't want to use a huge amount of load simply because that is going to bring the quads into it just to shift that load up and down. So I would keep that, concentrate on keeping that time under tension and a reasonably light load that you can move for a number of reps and really focus on that glute squeeze. So if you feel the quads, shift your feet. Often if you shift your feet a little bit further in, well, that's what I find, but I think it's different for everyone. You can kind of avoid that quad and feel the glute. And I also find that by turning the toes slightly outward, that works for me. But then you can play around with foot position. You can turn the toes slightly inward as well. Just have a play and see how it feels. But I wouldn't go too heavy, because any movement, I believe, when you start to go into that heavier weight that we were talking about before for muscle growth, ironically, you are going to end up using more muscles than just one to shift that load. It's just impossible, really, to just recruit a single set of muscles. Like your glutes, you can concentrate on them, but that you're going to inevitably use your quads as well. But yeah, just stick to those exercises and keep the weights fairly light where you can shift it and concentrate on that mind to muscle activation. I'm not an expert though, because I do want to grow my quads, so I must say.
It's a good answer. And I think to be really specific about this type of person that we're speaking to, it would be an individual who maybe they have physique goals where they are noticing that their thighs are getting too big in ratio with the rest of their lower body, and they're trying to find ways to not grow their thighs, talking about their quads, hamstrings, adductors, so much, and they want to focus more on maybe their hips, so growing things like our glutes, glute max, glute med, that as an example. I think it really does come down to exercise selection. Like if you're trying to train your lower body and you're doing an exercise, let's say like a barbell back squat, that's predominantly a quad exercise. And if you're trying to use that exercise to grow your glutes, that's a poor selection. It's like saying that you're going to do a bench press to grow your shoulders. Okay, we know that the shoulders play a role in the bench press, but it's predominantly, firstly, a pec exercise, secondly, a tricep exercise, and then third, maybe a shoulder exercise. So it really does come down to exercise selection. And there's no matter how you try to change the bench press or focus on mind-muscle connection into the shoulders, you're not going to take away from the pecs and the bench press. And that's the same with something like a squat. No matter how you try to change that squat position, you know, the quads are going to play a dominant role in there. So there's probably better exercises that you could choose that don't put the force through the muscles of the thighs, talking about quads or adductors or hamstrings, especially if you want to build up some strength around your glutes. And, you know, you said it too, Nick, it's all about progressive overload. That's how we build muscles. So you can definitely follow like maintenance training for your thighs. So instead of doing 20 sets of quadricep, maybe you do 10 sets of quadricep training to maintain that quadricep size, and then focusing more training into your hip-based exercises. And maybe you choose to do something like our booty builder program, which really biases the glutes and glute training while keeping maintenance through muscles like our quadriceps and hamstrings. We're not necessarily focusing on building the hamstrings, but they're still there because we like to have hamstrings, we like to have glutes, like to have quads, but then we're focusing on building the muscles around our hips, predominantly those glute muscles. But yeah, it's definitely a tricky one, and it can be applied to almost any muscle group because, you know, all of us have different physique goals. Sometimes we want to make our biceps bigger. Sometimes we want to make our glutes bigger. Sometimes we want to make our calves bigger and you know, different muscles bigger. And it does take some smart programming to make that work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, just each person is different. That's the thing. So yeah, just be mindful that it's going to take a while to shape your physique in any way that you want to. So just have patience with it once again. Yeah. Yes.
The final question here is about deloads. So we're in week 6 of the challenge. And if you're following the challenge, our advice is for you to transition into the deload program moving into next week. And the question was, how much weight should you be lifting on a deload? Is it 50 or 75% of your normal weight? Let's talk about it. So our advice through a deload is to decrease the total volume by 30 to 50%. So total volume by a third or by half, 30 to 50%. Now that volume can be either the amount of load that you use, so the weight of the bar, or it can be the total amount of sets that you use. Now in the challenge, what we've chosen to do is to decrease the total amount of sets that you complete in a deload. So that means that you can keep your weights exactly the same, but you're just going to be doing less exercise. So instead of doing, you know, 20 sets in a workout, you'll be doing 10 sets. That means that you have less exercise to recover from, giving you time to recover through the deload, because that's the ultimate goal, is to recover in that week. So if you are following the deload on your training template, you don't need to change the load that you use. If you normally bench press 50 kilos, continue benching 50 kilos, but you might do 2 sets instead of 3 sets on a bench press, okay? But if you're choosing to do your own deload program, you know, you'll just need to decrease the total load that you're using. So if you normally bench press 50 kilos, decrease it by a third or a half. So maybe bench, you know, maybe 35 or 25 kilos, about a third to a half. So using slightly lower load, but then you'd want to keep your sets relatively the same so that you can recover from that. Now, my advice for relative effort or rate of perceived effort, RPE, is that, you know, we don't want to be taking our sets to failure or close to failure. You know, we don't want to be hitting RPE 9s and 10s during our deload. A really nice area would be that, you know, 6, 7, 8 in our deload, so that we're not, you know, going all out in our deload, trying to max out as much as we can, even though the volume is lower or the weight is lower. We want to be in a position where it feels somewhat cruisy, feels somewhat easy. The goal is to recover, to deload our body so that we, in our next phase of training, we can start fresh, start new, and really hit it hard. Okay. Deloads. They're a fun one and an important one for long-term training and to see long-term results. Yeah.
Very worthwhile. I think people who have come from the sort of group fitness style of training wouldn't even, a deload would be sort of a weird concept. So if you can learn about that and start to embrace it, it actually makes you better. So that's what's good about them.
Yeah, no, so good. Well, Nick, let's wrap it up there for episode number 46 of the Challenge Weekly Show. If you like this episode, let us know. You can share it on your social medias. You can send us a message. We like receiving messages about the Challenge Weekly Show. You can leave us a review on iTunes, or even just tell your friend about it and have them listen to the show as well. If you have a question, if you have a question for us, you can check out the show notes and you can leave a question for us to answer in our question time for the Challenge Weekly Show. And we'll catch you next week for episode number 47. Nick, 47. Woo. How exciting.
Yay. That's awesome. It'll be all wrapped up by then and we'll be in the awesome process of, getting ready for awards night.
It'll be so good. All right, guys. See you next week.
See you.